You've got to love a bit of corrupt third world justice, eh? Peter Grester and two colleagues, the Australian journalist, of course, was arrested in December 2013, charged with spreading false news and having ties to the former President Mohamed Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood group. They spent 400 days in custody before Grester was deported. But since, they've changed their mind again, and the Egypt's highest court has since ordered a retrial. Now, Peter Grester is free, but his two colleagues, Baye Mohamed and Mohamed Fahmy, are still in Egypt, and they do face, going through the whole ordeal again. Peter is free, of course, and he's now trying to work out what to do next, because he was deported by the regime. Now they want him back. And Peter Grester joins me now. Hello, Peter.
G'day.
What a ridiculous situation you find yourself in. I mean, you're deported and they want to come back and try you again for this ridiculous charge. I mean, what journalist, would want to spread false news? No Australian journalist I've ever met, anyway.
No, well, look, we've always argued that there was never any evidence. We've never seen any evidence presented in court that we were guilty of anything. And so to be in this position again is pretty frustrating. But, yeah, look, we're actually very close to the end of the retrial. And as you said, the last thing we heard from the judge was that I needed to appear before the court or risk being declared as on trial in absentia. And the problem is that in Egypt, under the Egyptian rules, if you're in absentia, you automatically get a conviction. And so it's a slightly awkward position where, as you said, I was ordered out of the country by an executive order of the president, but ordered back into the country by the judge. And so we're trying to figure out a way around this little legal and political dilemma.
Yeah, I guess you could just let it go. I mean, I don't think you'd have any plans to go back to Egypt anyway, would you?
Yeah, I don't have any plans to go back to Egypt, but I can't let it go. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The first is for very messy personal reasons. Obviously, if I wind up with a conviction, it's going to screw up my career, which is as a foreign correspondent. And a conviction would mean that I almost certainly couldn't go to any country that has an extradition treaty with Egypt. And that includes most of the Middle East, most of the African Union, quite a few countries in Asia, Latin America, and so on. So it would be very, very difficult for me professionally. But more importantly than that, remember that we had literally millions of people around the world supporting us, our professional colleagues, politicians, governments and so on, all calling for our release, partly because of what we were going through at a personal level, but also because of what our case came to represent. And that's the much higher principles of freedom of speech, rule of law, freedom of the press and so on. And so we really feel that it's absolutely vital that we have to follow this through. And finally, this isn't just about me. My two colleagues are still in Egypt, as you mentioned. They're out on bail for the hearing, for the duration of the hearing. But if we get convictions, they'll, of course, have to carry the consequences of any sentence, and that would be really devastating.
Is there any part of you that says, I should go back for my two colleagues?
There is, but for a start, it's a question of how much, whether I could or not in the first instance. Remember, being ordered out by an order of the president isn't something that you can easily overturn. I can't simply disregard that and go back. And I'm pretty sure that the government, after going to such an extraordinary length, wouldn't welcome me back. At the same time, I'm not sure that it's going to do much help for my colleagues. And obviously, we're trying to figure out a way of getting around the issue of being on trial in absentia, and I'm offering to appear by video link to do that, just as a kind of interim solution.
And what's been the response so far? I'd imagine that would be something novel. It wouldn't have happened there before.
No, it hasn't happened there before, and they haven't agreed to it yet. But what I'm saying is that I was deported. This is a pretty unusual situation. The Egyptian legal system hasn't anticipated the situation where one of the defendants would be ordered out of the country by an executive order. And so we're trying to come up with a solution that might not have been anticipated in Egyptian law. The Australian government are offering to help out with the technology and all of the legal requirements at this end. We just need the Egyptians to make the kinds of concessions and hopefully break new ground and make that a possibility.
And any indication so far they will?
No, not yet. We understand from a number of sources privately that they might be considering it, but we've heard nothing formal. Of course, it's only the judge that can make that decision. And so what we're expecting tomorrow evening, our time, when we get to the next hearing, is first of all that my lawyer is going to present a letter from the Australian government to the court, or to the Egyptian government, basically saying that it considered the charges against me, that decided that I was not guilty of any, there's no evidence that I was committed any crime under Australian law, and it's therefore decided to not proceed with any charges. And if the court accepts that letter, then they'll take me off the case, hopefully. If they don't, then we offer the possibility of evidence by video link.
Yes, indeed. Now, this is not an independent judiciary. It's run by the politicians and I guess money as well. You'd imagine the president of Egypt could simply ring the judge and say, right, come on, just stop this nonsense. We've deported Gresta. We don't want him anymore. This has cost us a lot of prestige in diplomatic circles and so forth. Is there any work going on behind the scenes to make something like that happen?
Well, there's a lot of conversations taking place. We know that there's been a lot of diplomatic conversations, and we've been talking to quite a few people around the world on that regard. I can't talk in too much detail about that at this point. The only thing we need to remember is that everyone around the world is watching this case very closely for all the reasons I mentioned earlier, that this has become a really key case, not just for because of the three of us involved in the trial, but because of all of the issues that came to represent, and governments are obviously very keen to see that followed through.
Yes. Now, on a personal level, I mean, I know people have been in jail for 400 days in Australian jails and had to deal with post-traumatic stress and other issues for years afterwards. How are you going, having spent that time in an appalling situation in an Egyptian jail?
Oh, I'm fine. I mean, post-traumatic stress is something that emerges over time. I know that from seeing the way it's affected some of my friends and colleagues. So I'm keeping a fairly close eye on it, but I don't feel particularly damaged by this. In fact, one of the things that's helped me, to be honest, is the kind of incredible support that we've been getting from ordinary people everywhere. And I keep getting stopped in the street by people who are who were just so overjoyed to see me out. And that's absolutely wonderful. It makes you realize, at a personal level, just how much people were invested in this and how many people we had behind us. And this isn't avoiding the question. I mean, it really cuts to the very core of this thing. Having that support, that very public support from so many ordinary people, has made it a lot easier to process it and understand that what we went through wasn't just about us. It was about the things that people came to invest in us.
Yeah, sure. But once the parades are over and the media interest dies down, you have to live as a private citizen again, and that's when the problems come in. And I guess also, if your two colleagues were to be found guilty and sentenced once more, that would be a whole new phase to deal with for you personally.
Yeah, of course, and we'd have to deal with that, and that would be incredibly tough. That would just mean we'd have to put our boots back on and keep fighting for this. At a personal level, it would be really difficult. But I guess what I'm saying to you is that psychologically, it's not so much about the attention; it's just about the fact that this whole thing has had meaning. It hasn't been. I haven't taken it personally. It became something much bigger than us. And all of the textbooks, all of the psychologists will tell you that if you want to get through something like this, if you're in an incredibly difficult situation, one way to cope is to make it meaningful, just to make it something bigger than yourself, not to make it more than just about you at a personal level. And so, you know, for all of those reasons, I've been very, very lucky. And I've had the support of people who've been able to make it mean something, and I think I've come out stronger for it.
Can you see a day where you can just be another journo with a notebook at a press conference?
Oh, God, I wish I could. I have no idea how many times I've thought about that. But no, I think I, as much as I might like to, I think those days are probably past. I'm planning on getting back at doing and being a journo, but whether it's going back to stand at the back of a news conference with a notebook and being relatively unnoticed, I think it's probably long gone by now.
Some might say that this was your destiny as a person. Maybe this is what you were really leading up to.
Well, maybe it was. You know, I'm not a great believer in destiny. I think that life is what you. The meaning of life really depends on what you apply to it rather than what destiny maybe has in store for you. But, you know, I still feel that this has turned out in a remarkable way. And however it's happened, there's a lot of really important big stuff to be to be done with it. I've become very closely associated with issues of freedom of the press and journalistic integrity, the protection of journalists. And so if I've got microphones, if I've got opportunities to speak about this, if people are listening to me, then I feel like I've got a responsibility to do something with it.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thanks for your time, Peter. It's great to talk to you.
No, it's great to be here. Thanks very much for having me.